everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My friend of nearly 20 years and colleague, Dr. Ava Cadell, is my guest. She is the founder of Loveology University and, of course, is perfectly poised to talk about, yes, romance. Welcome to Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Ava.
Thank you, Diana. It's always so much fun to play with you and talk with you on your radio show.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Ava. Tell us a little bit about the Sexpert panel. I believe it's going to air tomorrow. And, of course, I'm part of that panel. But tell us a little bit, before we get into romance and the approach of Valentine's Day, tell us a little bit about the Sexpert panel, where people can hear it, and so on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the Sexpert panel is, as it sounds, a panel of sexperts with Dr. Diana as our lead sexpert, and the topic is going to be the topic of Dr. Diana's book. It's COVID, and it's love and relationships and sexuality during this this crazy time that we're living in. And it's only 1 hour, and you'll be getting gifts, and you can literally go and register at loveuniv.com/sexpert-panel. So it's
going to
be
I'll put that link in my show notes so people can tune in. And so go on about tomorrow.
So we also have Dr. Hernando Chavez. He is a good friend of mine and Dr. Diana's. He's a professor.
That's right.
He's an MFT, and he's going to give incredible advice about love during this COVID time. And then we have a lady from South Africa who brings another cultural perception to the whole topic. Her name is Viloshni Moodley. So I just hope everybody's going to join us and really enjoy the wisdom that we all share and, of course, the gifts, because it's almost Valentine's Day, and I think a lot of people are expecting Valentine's gifts.
I think that's true, and they're expecting more emotional foreplay and various demonstrations of romance. I was thinking about, of all things, Winston Churchill, because he gave a really great message that it's an entire, it was about World War II, but the message is good, and it has to do with never give in, never give in, never, ever, ever give in. Do not give in to creeping, well, he didn't say this, but I'm saying this. Do not give in to creeping celibacy. Keep making deposits in the love bank so you don't run out of currency, which in this case is romance and inclination. And we're going to be talking about that. Ava and I are going to be talking about romance and how we can make regular deposits in the love bank. And of course, this Valentine's Day is like no other Valentine's Day because the pandemic continues to rage, and some of the normal date options may be literally off the table, like dining out. But let's go on and talk a little bit about some definitions of romance. Can you start, Ava, with that?
Sure. So I think definitions change. They change as we mature. They change for genders and for cultures. So I was doing some research, actually, on Valentine's Day and what people want. And there's an amazing website called YouGov.com. And it said that 1 in 5 men say that they want sexual favors as a Valentine's Day gift. And that's what they think is romantic. Whereas women clearly want more. They want that emotional gratification of a card with a special love letter and flowers and chocolates and jewelry.
Yeah.
But I find it fascinating how different the definition of romance is to different people.
Yes, and it is fascinating. And when we were talking about this off the air yesterday, you said that with gay couples, oftentimes the men want the same thing, more sex. And with gay lesbian couples, they want it to be more emotional. So it seems to be gender related, doesn't it?
It does. Well, sex always has been that way. Statistics show that gay men have the most sex, and then heterosexual couples have the second most sex, and then gay women have the least amount of sex. So that in itself is fascinating.
Yes, it is. And we're going to be mainly talking about couples for this program, but we're going to fit in some talk about singles, too, because it's not so easy for lots of singles on Valentine's Day.
I totally agree. And now, especially during COVID, being single and lonely, these people really need our help. And so I think that this is a good time to pamper yourself if you don't have a Valentine, because there's no more worthy Valentine than you.
How true that is. And anybody, B-O-D-Y, deserves to feel good. And exploring some bodily pleasures, apart from sex, do these things, all these things that you enjoy. And whether you're if you're a single person, do this, and that's what we're talking about now. And, of course, this is also very important for couples to do the body pampering. I said we'd talk about it later, but we started to talk about it. So let's put in just a few words for the singles, because they should not be neglected. Sometimes I've heard it said Galentine's Day, so girls will get together with their friends. Galentine Day, right, gal.
I love that. I've done that in the past when I've been single. I would get together with all my friends, many of them you know, like Teresa Flint and Jackie Seaman. And we would go to the movies. That was our Galentine's Day. We would eat ourselves, you know, until we were really full. Well, we go to that wonderful movie house where you get to eat while you watch the movie. You get to eat and drink, but I think that they went out of business once, COVID.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Can't do that.
But I think it's a good idea. Yeah. Even if you just Zoom with your girlfriends or FaceTime with your girlfriends and share good memories, that would be a really fun, you know, Valentine's Galentine experience.
Yes, and to be thinking maybe about Valentine's Day, because I think it's a day where you focus on love. And you might even think about what you want, what you really want and need in a love relationship. But let's go back to couples, because couples, well, Valentine's Day is mainly about couples. So let's talk about couples and the different. So we've already established that they're depending upon your gender, you're going to have different expectations for Valentine's Day. And so I would really like to talk about making the most of your Valentine's Day by maybe working out a date night at home. It's a perfect time to stay at home and create your own bubble of love. And of course, you and I are all about, we're sex birds, and so I would say hopefully enjoy some hot sex together. But I think people need to be intentional about how they celebrate their love for each other. This is called the Holiday of the Heart. So,
I love that.
Yeah, so make the most of this special day. And do you have, Dr. Ava, do you have some suggestions for making the most of this special day?
Well, I do. I think the most important part is to give your lover a card. Customize mm-hmm. it with your photos or a poem or a love letter, and maybe even cut out a part of your, take a photograph of your body and then cut out your favorite part, whether it's your butt or your boob, and put it in the card to make your lover smile. And then perhaps they'll even carry that card around with them when you're not together, and they'll think about you. So I think it's really important to give each other something that you can keep. And it doesn't have to be expensive jewelry. It can even be like a love coupon. You can write, redeem this love coupon for fulfillment of your hottest sex fantasy. Now, that's the kind of gift that you'll always remember.
You'll always remember, and you can bring out that card at other times during the year, so it's a gift that keeps giving.
Yes, I do encourage people to write their own love coupons, because I think it's a great idea. And then, as you said earlier, you know, having something at home, like making food together, whether it's a picnic or whether you're in the kitchen making a pizza together, it could be very romantic, especially if you are making out during cooking. But I've noticed that some couples also have some power struggles when they're in the kitchen together. So that's something you might want to talk about before you actually do it.
Well, that's a good idea. But let's spend a little time talking about making this special meal together, or maybe one of you makes it. But, you know, there's history here, because ever since Mark Antony first fed Cleopatra grapes, the connection between sensual foods and romance and love have been intertwined. And so there's a lot we can talk about in terms of planning a special meal for your special Valentine's Day. I think the process of cooking and eating engages most of your senses. And, of course, you get lots of touch stimulation from doing hands-on preparation, you know, the peeling, the chopping, all that. And then you engage your visual awareness with an appealing presentation of your culinary creations, shall we say. And then the experience of eating brings so many delightful tastes and smells. But we need to slow down and savor the experience. Slow down. You know, those two words I have said, just as a little sidebar here, I've said those two words so many times over the 30-plus years I've been seeing clients. And slow down, you know, also... Continued with a sidebar, you know, in the U.S., we have two words that are unique to us, snack and quickie. And so I wonder if we suffer from a certain adolescent haste, you know, wolfing down food and having the constant menu of hurry-up sex. So that's just a little sidebar. But let's get back to slowing down and savoring the experience. Make it gastronomic foreplay. And this is a very important part of your date night at home. I think it means dressing up for your dinner at home.
Or dressing down.
Or dressing down. You can dress. How do you mean dressing down?
I mean wearing as little as possible.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You can start that during the dinner, or maybe after dinner you put on your special little outfit. But either way, make it special by not wearing old clothes.
Exactly. And another analogy for slowing down is mindfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, when you eat mindfully, you
yes.
eat slowly, and you take the time to savor, you know, all of the different tastes and smells of the food. And just choosing the right food to turn you on is also very important. And what a lot of people might not know is that nature actually designed certain food that looks phallic because it is an aphrodisiac, ostensibly.
Yeah.
Not everybody agrees with that. But, you know, male foods are very different than female. So for the male, anything long like a banana or a carrot, a cucumber, celery, asparagus, these are all phallic foods that you can have a lot of fun actually eating together, one at one end and the other person at the other end.
That's a good suggestion. I think it can also, if you do a lot of your eating, if you make certain foods that you can eat with your fingers, because handling food joins the sense of touch with the basic pleasure of satisfying the appetite. So eating with our hands allows us to perceive what the essence of the food before we consume it. I still like to think back, and I even mention this in my book, Love in the Time of Corona. Sorry, I got a call interrupted, and it'll go past in a minute. But do you remember the movie of the 60s, Tom Jones? It was a wonderful English comedy in which the hero and, a whore were sitting face-to-face across a narrow table, and they were sharing a very sensuous meal. And I remember this so well because the camera revels in the hands ripping apart chickens and shellfish and the mouth sipping and chewing and sucking and laughing and juices streaming down their chins and necks. And this lobster claws and the silky pears were like caresses the way they played it out. It's a memorable scene. I've recalled it for years. It's just, it really illustrates how we can make eating together a very sensual experience.
Well, and that movie actually is more like sploshing. Sploshing is a fetish. It's basically, at its most basic level, it refers to the act of incorporating food into your sex life. And it's the sexual kink that makes it sploshing. The messier the food, the better. So, you know, I've talked to clients who have actually thrown spaghetti bolognese on their partner's body and eaten it off.
Oh,
so it's fascinating how limits, you know, can change from one couple to another.
I think, well, that is a little bit kinky. I had many years ago, he actually was a surgeon. He was a medical doctor, but he had a real food fetish. And the thing that he liked was when his wife would go away, he was very wealthy, his wife would leave town, and he'd set up all these plastic sheets, and then he'd have a woman that he'd hired come and put all kinds of food on his body and eat it off his body, and that was the way he got turned on. And it had some history in his, which I won't go into now, but his history in his childhood. So they're very interesting kinks that we all have. And what can turn us on. But most of us aren't going to probably go that far. But I think to be really sensuous, slow down, savor the experience, and feeding each other. You know, birds, other animals, when you feed another animal, you've won them over. You probably will mate with them. So it's a very maybe unconscious experience that when we take food from even in new relationships, feeding each other hand to mouth.
When you feed your lover sensually, then the sensations are heightened, your taste, your smell, your sight, your touch. And you can even blindfold your lover when you feed him or her, and they have to guess what they're eating. That can be fun.
Oh, that can be a lot of fun. Yes. And and you can even do that. Well, let's stay with the food. My mind is racing. Now, this can be, I think, something really popular on Valentine's Day, and it works very well to feed each other, is chocolate-covered strawberries, where you can feed each other a strawberry. And notice the chocolate on the outside, how it tastes. Slowly notice the strawberry and how it might sort of burst in your mouth. Or grapes can do the same thing, either fresh or frozen. And it really is a good sensate focus exercise, too, feeding your partner a grape, slowly moving it around the lips, in the mouth, biting into it, feeling it slowly go down the throat. It slows everything down, and it really focuses our attention on all of the sensations and the textures and the tastes. It can be a lot of fun, don't you think?
I do, and of course, chocolate mimics human sex hormones, so that also is an aphrodisiac, and a lot of women love chocolate. A lot of men do, too, and I think during Valentine's Day, chocolate is the number one gift in my research, and that's, by the way, that's all over the world. I was doing a little research on, you know, Valentine's Day in different cultures. Well, in Italy, it's celebrated with a spring festival, so couples eat and they have, they read poems, they enjoy music, and then in Brazil, they have their carnival from February to March for Valentine's. In France, they claim that they were the first to begin Valentine's. They say that the Duke of Orleans, Charles, wrote his first Valentine's card because he signed a poem as "Your Valentine." So the French take it very seriously, and they love to eat. I mean, they eat slowly. They eat their salad with their main meal. Sometimes they even eat dessert before their appetizers. So the French are extremely sensual when it comes to food.
Well, and other areas, too. French are known.
The French kiss. I mean, let's be honest. It's the sexiest, wettest kiss of all. So.
French kiss. That's right. But there are women that don't like too wet a kiss in the beginning, right? In the beginning. They like to be a little more aroused before they have too wet a kiss or too much of a tongue down the throat. But kissing, yes, French kissing. The French have a corner on that market, I guess, but we can learn from them.
We could. I mean, and there's nothing more important when you're dating somebody. If you don't like the way they kiss, the relationship probably won't last, or it certainly won't move from romance to intimacy, because I call kissing facial intercourse. That's how intimate I think kissing is. But I really think you need to mindfully kiss and follow your lover's kissing technique and let them follow your kissing technique as if you're doing the tango together, you know, with your tongue.
Oh, that's pretty sexy even to just think about it. We can get a lot of information about a person from a kiss. You know, I remember I was a widow for 10 years, and you've been a widow for a number of years, and we're both in relationships. I'm now married, but you're in a relationship and living together, and it's lovely. But when I was a widow, I did do online dating, and oftentimes if I felt a connection with the man, I would allow a kiss goodnight, because you get a lot of information with that one kiss, right?
Absolutely. It's a form of communication, yes.
And even about the, yes, how well he kissed, and also about his health, and does he have good breath, and all of that, right?
Yeah, and for Valentine's Day, what a couple can do is watch some romantic movies and emulate the kissing scenes, the sexy scenes. And these can just be mainstream movies, or they can be, you know, erotic movies. But that's a really fun activity, is to copy a great kissing scene.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and you do need to watch movies and not porn, because you're not going to see much really great kissing in porn.
You might see some good positions in the porn, though, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we can learn so much visually, and you have a whole line of sex ed videos. I have narrated for the Sinclair Institute a line of sex ed.
Yes.
So
that's a great gift for Valentine's Day, is to buy your partner either an instructional DVD, you know, online, or a new course on how to give each other an erotic massage. But that's a great idea for a gift, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think indulging in some erotica, whatever form it takes, stories and themes about sex in books, music, photography, illustration, film, and other media are strong turn-ons for many people. And again, these depictions of sexuality have the power to excite the imagination, and of course, and the body too. And I think, you know, think about erotica. Well, it takes many forms in today's world, and in the last decade, we had 50 Shades of Grey and its spinoffs. And, it wasn't a very well-written, it was a trilogy of books, and the films were okay. But what I liked about 50 Shades of Grey is that it got conversations started about BDSM and just other aspects of sexuality. It started conversations. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely, and it gave women permission to be naughty, to try some kinky power play and push their boundaries and taboos. So I think that's one of the reasons that it was so successful financially, even though perhaps the writing wasn't superlative. Just the notion of BDSM was very appealing to the masses. And I heard that sex toys, which included Benoit balls and blindfolds and even whips, tripled during that time.
Isn't that interesting? Of course, we're in a new, since the pandemic, we've had a huge surge in sex toys sales. And it's not surprising in yes, so lots of people, I think it's, I heard one, I think 200% it's increased since the beginning of the pandemic, almost a year ago. So,
well, that's a great gift. You go online and you pick a sex toy. You pick one for a woman, one for a man, and one for a couple. There's great couple sex toys. There are thousands of sex toys. So that can take you all day if you want to go sex toy shopping on Valentine's.
Or go to and go with your partner. The stores are usually very friendly. They're most always female salespeople, and for years and years and years, Good Vibrations and other stores, just the friendliest, most knowledgeable people. And I've sent some of my older couples to go get some toys. And they've never used a toy before, and they were educated, and they were in, I'm thinking about one couple, and they were comfortable in this, they thought they wouldn't be, especially the guy. But he was comfortable in the store, and they came home with two new sex toys, including, and he had some ED because he was an older guy, a cock ring that vibrated. And that really helped him, plus it just gave their sex life a real boost because it was something new. And let's remember dopamine. Dopamine is the hormone of arousal, and to be expressed, it needs novelty. So you got to do some new things. Valentine's Day is a great time to do new things. All the time is a most times it's a good time to do new things to keep your sex life vital and enthusiastic.
So true. And now with the COVID and the quarantining, a lot of couples are actually not having as much sex, and because of the stress that they're feeling and the fears, of course. So for couples like that, I recommend something a little bit more gentle for Valentine's, and that's exchanging some Valentine's vows, something that you're going to do for at least the next year that perhaps you have neglected. So you could say,
lovely idea, Ava. Yeah, lovely idea. Tell us about it. Tell us a little more about the Valentine vows.
Well, you can vow something such as, I promise to tell you and I promise to show you how much I appreciate you more often. I mean, just hearing that will make your heart sing. Or you can make it more sensual, like, I promise to give you a sensual massage at least once a month. Personally, I think every couple should have that vow. And I know you're going to agree with me on that because you are a fan of sensual massage, right?
I am a big fan. And I am a very fortunate woman because my husband is an excellent, superb massage therapist, sensual and otherwise. I mean, he's just really good. And I feel so fortunate. But we massage each other, but he tends to be the better one just in terms of his techniques, being able, stronger hands and being able to go deeper. You know, people, if they're not so sure about how to massage, there are some YouTube explanations. People, YouTube has something for everybody, right?
They do, but it's not sexy enough. So I'm giving away my, it's called the Four Packs for Lovers. So I'm giving away four of my courses for half off because of Valentine's Day. And one course is called Erotic Touch and Talk. And you will learn how to give an erotic massage. So this is only for adults, but to a man and a woman, and you'll learn how to talk erotically. That's something that we don't often, you know, learn. So I believe everybody can be taught how to touch erotically and how to talk erotically, hence my courses that I want to give away to people for a very, very minimum price.
It's a wonderful thing and can be found on your website, Dr. Ava Cadell.
It's at loveuniv.com.
Oh, yes.
loveuniv.com. And you just go into the Four Packs for Lovers, and if you use the promo code Dr. Ava, D-R-A-V-A, 50, you'll get everything half off.
That's wonderful. And the four packs are so good. I think so appropriate for our discussion today is how to meet and maintain romance.
Yes, that's got flirting and dating and aphrodisiacs as well.
Yes, and aphrodisiacs. And we've touched on aphrodisiacs a little bit. You've also got a four pack on, well, you mentioned this, erotic touch and talk, and that has the erotic massage and the foreplay and self-pleasuring and erotic talk. Speaking of the latter, I've had especially women say, my partner wants me to talk dirty, and I haven't a clue on how to do that. Can you give us a little idea or two about erotic talk or even dirty talk, as it's sometimes called?
There are many ways to start. One way is to give an erotic massage and talk about what you are doing as you're doing it. I mean, literally, you can say, you know, I am now going to use my hands to caress your breasts, to go over your buttocks, inside your thighs, and you can really, literally, whatever you can think, you can say. So that's one way. And another way is through multiple choice. Make it a game. You can say, you know, out of these three choices, which would you like me to do? And you can use, you know, real dirty talk. And then another fun way for beginners is to write naughty words on your lover's body with your finger. And then you say, I'm only going to do this if you can guess what this word is. And you can write lick, and you can write all kinds of naughty, fun things. So I do encourage people to talk erotically. Oh, and one last idea that's really fun is to name each other's genitals. Like, you can call them famous couples. You can call them Romeo and Juliet, or Cleopatra and Caesar, or Tom and Jerry, whatever you want. And that way you can talk about your sexual organs in public, and nobody will know what you're talking about except the two of you.
What a great idea, and that also makes the relationship a little more special, because it's intimate. It's just between the two of you. It's your own little dirty secret, or just for the two of you. Just for the two of you.
And it makes you laugh. I think laughter is so important, especially during these serious, scary times. So anything that makes you laugh together is wonderful.
And I have a whole chapter in my book on laugh and play together. It is so important. Couples who laugh together last together, of course. And laughing helps you get into a more playful mood. And I have an erotic formula, speaking of that, and it is, my erotic formula is sensual pleasure plus playfulness equals great sex. Jack Morin, his erotic formula was, let's see, attraction plus obstacles equals excitement. And we can talk about what that might mean in terms of obstacles, like maybe it's you make love quietly because you're in an apartment where the walls are kind of thin, and so that's an obstacle to be quiet, but how can we still make it hot? Or maybe you're playing with honey and it's a little bit sticky. That's an obstacle. Can you think of an erotic formula? What would be yours? Or I want our listening audience to think about what might be their erotic formula. Again, mine was sensual pleasure plus playfulness equals great sex.
Well, how about power play, boundaries, taboos, and fetishes equal kinky play?
Oh, tell us more. Did you?
Well, it also happens to be one of my four packs, Kinky 101.
Right.
And that even includes group erotica. You know, that's either engaging or fantasizing or watching group sex, which is a big turn-on for a lot of people. I think the number one fantasy is a threesome for both men and women, interestingly enough.
I actually knew that. That's the number one fantasy. That's a fantasy that for most people, it has to be on hold until the pandemic is over, or at least reined in a lot. It's group sex and all those things, but you can watch it, and there are plenty of films.
Yes, there's plenty of videos out there of people having sex. So, it's amazing what you can do virtually now.
It is amazing. We both started in this field. Well, you started maybe 20 years ago?
At least.
Yeah.
At least, yes.
And I started
changed.
Over 30 years, and it's amazing, all the changes. And our digital world has helped in a lot of ways, although using Twitter is not touching. And so sometimes I think the digital world and just turning off your devices and turning off the television can go a long way to creating a more romantic environment. But we've seen a lot of changes over the last 20 years.
Especially sex technology is the biggest change in our field, I think. And sexting and, you know, all that. I think it's great. I think anything that enhances your love life is great. But you have to be mindful. Like you say, you have to slow down and really weigh the pros and cons of every new activity that you engage in. It's really important to do that. And that's why I love things like the laughter, because, you know, I wrote a book called Neurolovology, which was all about the science of brain and sex. And I read this wonderful quote that said that laughter is the shortest distance between two brains. And I love that because our brain is the most erotic organ. And when something starts there and releases the dopamine, as you said, then it relaxes the body and it makes one feel like making love. You know, you can get into the mood, whereas people are stressed out. And a lot of people tell me they're not feeling sexy and they need help. And that's where your wonderful book is helping so many couples with love in the time of corona.
Yes. And I'm actually holding in my hand your book, Neurolovology. The subtitle is The Power to Mindful Love and Sex. Right on the cover, you have a wonderful quote from Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And he says, Dr. Ava Cadell gives us the tools we need to make love last with plenty of fun. Nice blurb from Dr. Gray.
And I'm giving away that book for free on my personal website, which is avacadell.com. You can download that book for absolutely free. It is one of my Valentine's gifts that I want to give everybody because it's filled with exercises for singles and couples.
And so people can download it and they get a PDF of the book. Is that it?
Yeah. It says click here to view and download your free copy. Yes.
That's, you know, Ava, I really love you. You know, you're so knowledgeable and you're so generous. You've always been so generous. And back when I lived in Los Angeles and we saw each other more often, you couldn't be more generous and also sharing the wealth and helping me because you were far ahead of me in some ways back then when I lived in L.A. and in terms of your media work and all of that and books, mainly books. So I really am grateful to you. And you've been a guest on this show a number of times, and you will be again the first part of May. So that's a good thing.
I love sharing you know, all this information with you and bouncing ideas off each other. And I feel like even if we just help one couple, then our mission is done.
Well, yes, I think we're actually helping more than one couple, though.
I do, too. I was being facetious, but yes, I do, too.
But what about
families for Valentine's Day? There are families, you know, they're quarantined. There's husbands and wives and children. What do you think they should do for Valentine's Day just to show some bonding?
I think you're talking about a couple with perhaps small children, or probably if they're teenagers, they won't be so interested. But get your kids involved with making plans for Valentine's Day. The kids can draw some hearts and all of that. Maybe place marks at the table. They can get involved with the cooking of the Valentine dinner and making desserts. Maybe cookies. Heart-shaped cookies, you know, those sorts of things. And talking with your children about love. And those children are going to be very blessed if they get to see their parents being affectionate and loving each other. And William Masters of Masters and Johnson said the best sex education you can give your child is for your child to witness daddy going up behind mommy say she's cooking at the stove, and he pats her butt and maybe hugs her from behind. That's great, you know, and I encourage couples to do the 7-second kiss and the 15-second hug, which is enough time to get oxytocin going. And I've had reports back that if they have small children and the children see them doing this, the kids get around their legs and want it to be a group hug. So I think it's a good opportunity for families to talk about love and have a Valentine's dinner.
Do
you have any ideas for family?
One idea that I recommend for families is to create a family mission statement. Or if it's just a couple of you, then, you know, do that, because successful businesses have mission statements. So why shouldn't successful couples and families? And you get to discover the desires that you all share, the goals that you have in common.
And those meditations, of course, will keep you in the moment, because you have to be mindful to do them. And you're giving them away on your YouTube channel. You know, maybe after we do this, Ava, you can send me those links so I'd be sure and get them in my show notes. I will do that.
I'm going to send you all the links to the panel of sexperts and all the free gifts. And I just hope everybody does something special for themselves on Valentine's Day, even though it is the strangest Valentine's Day in our lifetime.
It really is. And in general, we don't talk about romance much these days, but especially this year, because there are so many, it seems like for lots of people, there are more pressing priorities, the pandemic and health, maybe financial survival, the children and how are they doing. So but I think if we talk about romance and think about it coming up this Sunday, by doing that, we keep sometimes I talk about the inner adolescent alive and well, you know, when you were quite romantic as a teenager. And maybe your perspective has changed, but your gut, your intuition has not. And I'll give a great example. And it's in my own mature romantic marriage. Lucky us, because Brian and I are two experienced people who have a past, yet everything is still possible. Yeah, we've got a past, but everything is possible, and we communicate about other possibilities for us, so we keep things vital and new and romantic, to be conscientious about romance and yes.
You guys are so romantic. You're just such good role models for other couples.
Well, we are, and I feel I count my blessings every day because we do have a special romance. But we're mature people. We're both in our 70s, and so we come from a place of abundance. And, you know, there's a lot of folks have an attitude of scarcity, that somehow there's never enough to go around. Some people are very wealthy, but they have so much wealth and so little abundance. You know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So much wealth and so little abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
So as a final, because we're almost out of time, as a final sort of love message for everybody, romance message for everybody. They can certainly take advantage of all of the free things you're giving away and messages you're giving away, YouTube things and all of that. But anything else you'd like to talk about in the final minutes of this show, all about romance?
As a final thought, listen to some music together, because that too synchronizes your brain and your body. So listen to music and maybe even have some dancing on Valentine's Day.
It's such a good idea, yes. Listening to music together, you sync up, you're in rhythm. Sometimes I've suggested to couples, well, pre-pandemic days, if they don't ballroom dance, that they might take some lessons so that they can get in rhythm with each other. Dancing together can be great. And if you want to revitalize romance, you pick out some old tunes that were popular when you first fell in love and dance to those. Or maybe put on striptease music. I like You Can Leave Your Hat On from 9 1/2 Weeks, the movie. It was about all about it was Sam Cooke. Yeah, Sam Cooke wrote that. You Can Leave Your Hat On. And so if you do a striptease for your partner, this can be a lot of fun and really get into the music, and it turns yourself on just by moving and then looking at your partner, and hopefully your partner has, I think your partner will have lust and desire in his eyes as he watches you dance. So I'm glad you mentioned music. Music is so important in dancing. And dancing, of course, is good exercise, as is sex. All of the health benefits from sex, we can, that's another show, but it even it helps your immune system.
We can do that one in May.
So, all right, I think we've come to the end. Thank you so much, Dr. Ava, for all of this. And you're just a wealth of information, and you share it so well. And
thank you, Dr. Diana, for having me, sweetie. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. You know, this show gives me a chance to talk to people like you who are good friends. I don't have too many good friends as guests. I mean, really good friends as guests, but it's a nice excuse. But even without that, I think people need to reach out and talk to others too, especially on Valentine's Day, if you don't have a partner. So we've had a lovely talk, and I'm so glad we did. And thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Your guy have a lovely Valentine's Day.
You too.
Thank you. And to all of you out there listening, happy Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day if you don't have a partner. And think about all these things that you can do to make your Valentine's Day richer and livelier and more sexy. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Dr. Ava. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.